This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Thy word is a lamp. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. It's good to be here another Saturday evening to continue the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking in the book of Mark, the gospel writings of Mark, and we are going to continue to the end of Mark. And we hope and trust that we will glean from this book, we will understand more about the life of Jesus, and we'll get to know him more, and we will grow in grace and knowledge of him. So we see Mark is the gospel writer, and Jesus himself, he's the one that Mark writes about. So Jesus is God, and we see Mark shows this very clearly in Mark chapter 1. We see where Mark wrote in chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. So we see Mark's gospel writing emphasizes the actions and deeds of Jesus. And we see Jesus on the move in this gospel writing, healing, casting out demons, performing miracles and teachings. So we see that Mark would show Jesus moving rapidly. And we see that Mark spoke of Jesus at a rapid pace. He wrote about Jesus moving rapidly. So we see he slowed down a little when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem before his crucifixion, which we will see in the later chapters. So Mark is the same John Mark, the son of Mary, in whose house we see the early church sometimes gathered. And we can read in Acts 12:12-17, when they gathered together and prayed for Peter, who was arrested by Herod the king. So we see, people of God, that Mark is John Mark, and he also went on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. And we can read that in Acts 13:5. But we also know that Mark is the one who wrote this gospel writing, and he wrote to the Romans in Rome. He was in Rome at that time. And we see he identified his theme in the first verse, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we continue from verse 38 of Mark 1, verse 38 of Mark 1, and we will continue from there. So let us see what the Lord is saying to us from verse 38. That's where we stopped last week, and we will continue from there. Let us pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, O God, for your word to us. We pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that we will glean from this book, O God. We'll understand more about Jesus and walk in complete obedience to his word. O God, we come to you this afternoon, this evening, O God, knowing that without you we can do nothing. So we come completely dependent upon you, Jesus. And we know, God Almighty Lord, you will illuminate your word to us. Grant us your grace, O God. Grant us your peace, O God Almighty Lord. Breathe upon your people who have come to hear your word. O God, help us, O God, not just to be hearers, but doers of your word. Those that are not yet saved, we pray that you will save them by your grace. For, O God, we are saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, O God, that faith will arrive in their hearts, O God Almighty. That, O God Almighty, as they hear your word, O God, faith, O God Almighty Lord, will grow. And that day, O God, will cry out, Jesus, save me. Have your way, O God Almighty Lord. And let your will be done, Almighty God. Your perfect will, let it be done in the lives of your people. So we thank you. We bless you. We look to you by faith as we say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are looking at Mark 1, verse 38. And we read that last week, but we'll read it again this week. So we recap a little before we go on. We see that Peter and the other disciples came looking for Jesus In verse 37, they came looking for Jesus and they found him. And they told him that everyone was looking for you. Remember, he had performed a lot of miracles in that town where he was. And he had cast out many demons. So the people were looking for more. The people liked to see all these things happening. But Jesus was on a mission. The word said, but he said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So we see where Jesus was mission-minded. He just prayed to his Father, and he had to do his Father's will. He just prayed to his Father, and he had to do his Father's will. So we have to understand that he was not a people pleaser, but a God pleaser. He knows there was work to be done in the other towns. So he had to fulfill his purpose by preaching the coming of the kingdom, so everyone could hear the good news and make their decision. People of God, we have to understand, we can't go by what people say. People will tell us that, okay, they need you over that town. But we must know what God is saying to us. What is the Lord saying to you at this time? Where does he want you to go? People of God, many times we follow what people say and not what Jesus says. So let us be very sensitive to his voice. Let us hear his voice. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. Who are we following? We have to stop and examine ourselves and ask ourselves this question. Who are we following? We see Jesus wasn't following the disciples. The disciples had to follow him. So he was the one in charge. So we must know who we are and use the authority that Christ has given us. For we know that we are sent by him and we are sent on a mission. So let us not get distracted from our mission. Let us not be diverted by anyone, but let us continue to look to Jesus to show us the path to take. He will show us the path to take. We can't take any path on our own, but he will show us. So when we come to him and when we rely on him, he will teach us his ways. So look at verse 39. The word said, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So he was preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So Jesus was on the move, preaching in the synagogue throughout Galilee and casting out all the demons. So Jesus Christ, the living Savior, he has come to set captives free. He has come to open prison doors. He has come to make the lame walk and the blind see. So we have to understand the mission of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and understand that as he was on the move, so he's calling us to be on the move, not to be too busy taken up with the things of the world, but to be busy doing the will of our Father, to be busy carrying out the mandate that he has given us. For he has called us, people of God, to go forth as ambassadors and to seek and to save those that are lost. So we have to see, people of God, that Jesus went in the power of the Spirit. Jesus went in the power of the Spirit. We cannot go without the power of the Holy Ghost. So we have to understand that we must go with the Spirit being upon us. Jesus said that when the Spirit is come upon us, we shall be his witnesses. So just as he spoke in Acts 1:8 and reminded his followers at the time that they must wait in Jerusalem until they are endued with that power. The Holy Spirit is come upon them and they shall be witnesses unto Christ Jesus. So we see even Christ Jesus, before he went out on his first mission, he had to be endued with the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So we see, people of God, in Isaiah 61, where Isaiah spoke and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So we see, people of God, Jesus Christ came And Jesus Christ came in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit was on him without limit. And we see that the Spirit was upon him. And he came, Isaiah prophesied before he came, that he would come to preach good tidings to the poor. And we see he was going through the words that he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So the word has to be fulfilled because the Lord God has anointed him to preach good tidings to the poor, the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. So we have to understand, people of God, when we are poor in spirit, that means we are spiritually impoverished. We don't believe that we have it all together. We know that there is always more when we are poor in spirit. So we'll be seeking the Lord for more. And we will be filled up because we are seeking for more. So the Lord has anointed me, the word said, to preach good tidings to the poor. So we have to be at that state of being poor in spirit. Let us not see ourselves as having it together, for none of us have it together. But let us come to that place of understanding that we are to be reliant upon the word of God, rely upon the word, and continue to take heed to the word that we are hearing. For we are seeing that he was preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So he has come to heal broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to captive souls. So we have to understand that Jesus come to set all those that are bound by evil spirits. He has come to set them free. He came and the word said he was on the move, preaching in the synagogue and casting out demons. So we have to understand that he is able to cast out demons and to set captives free. So Jesus came to bring release to those who are bound. Many people are bound in so many ways. Sometimes we look back and people are bound by traumatic events of their past. So God is saying to us that he has come to set captives free, to deliver those that need deliverance. So we, people of God, cannot be just going to the synagogue and we have all those problems. All those forces are on us. All those oppressive spirits are oppressing us. And we must cry out to Jesus. And we must tell him about our troubles. For he has come to set captives free. He has come to redeem us. He has come, people of God, so that we can walk in that liberty in which he has made us free. So we must understand who Jesus is and walk according to his will. So we see in verse 40 of Mark 1, we see now a leper came to him. And we know who a leper is. He is one stricken with leprosy. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So we see this leper should have been isolated at that time. People of God, the leper should have been isolated at that time. But he took time out to approach Jesus, begging him to heal him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So he was begging Jesus, "Please heal me. I'm tired of being in this state." So we see the leper left the place where we know that they would have what we call a leper's valley, where all the lepers would be put together in a place of isolation. But he left that area and came to Jesus. The word said he approached Jesus and he came begging Jesus to heal him. "If you're willing, Jesus, please heal me." So we see this leper knew who Jesus is. People of God, we must know who Jesus is. The word of God tells us without faith, it is impossible to please him. For when we come, we must believe that he is God. and he rewards those who diligently seek him. So we see this leper was diligent. This leper came out of isolation, which he shouldn't have done, but he took a risk of coming out of isolation and coming to Jesus and begging him to heal him. So we see this leper knew who Christ is, and he knew that Jesus could heal him. He have heard of all that Jesus has done, we believe, and we know that he believed that this same Jesus can heal his leprosy. So the word tells us the leper knew who Christ is, and he understood. We know kingdom principle. This leper understood kingdom principle, people of God. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So we see he understands that God does as he pleases. So if he's not willing to make him clean, then he's not willing. He's God. So he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So we see, people of God, that he spoke in a way that shows that he understands who God is. When we approach him, we must know who he is. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? Don't you know he is God? We must know who he is and come to him with that right approach. Sometimes we approach him the wrong way. We forget that he is God, but he is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us. The word said in Psalm 100, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. So if he makes us, he can fix us. So we see this leper understood kingdom principle. God does as he pleases. So he said to Jesus, if you are willing, people of God, we must approach Jesus right. If you are willing, Jesus, please cleanse me. So we must come to him humbly, reverentially. So we see Jesus was moved, the word said in verse 41. Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. The word said, Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. So people of God, we must approach Jesus the right way. We must touch him by our faith. We see the faith of this leper touch Jesus. And the way he approached Jesus touched him. That Jesus was moved with compassion. Stretch out his hand and touch him. One touch from Jesus, people of God, is enough. One touch from Jesus will bring forth healing to whatever your problem is, whatever your situation is. One touch from Jesus. And the word tells us, Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed. And Jesus is willing to cleanse each and every one of us, no matter what the situation is. We can run to him. We can tell him about it. People of God, no matter how dark and deep the secret is, we can tell Jesus about it. People of God, this leper took the risk of coming out of isolation and approaching Jesus. So we must come out of isolation. We must come out, take the risk. Somebody might look on us away and saying, isn't that person? That person shouldn't be here. But God is saying to us, whatever the situation is, take the risk. Take the risk and come out. Call out to Jesus. And he will have compassion on you. So God is speaking to us. Whatever our situation is, we might not be leprous. But whatever the situation is, might be even worse than leprosy. We don't know what it is, but you know. God is saying to you today, come to Jesus. Come unto Jesus. You that have been so weary, you have labored, and you have become heavily laden. Come to Jesus. and he will give you his sweet rest. Come to Jesus. Jesus is always moved with compassion, people of God. We must know how to approach Jesus. And he will be moved with compassion towards us. He will stretch out his hands and he will touch us. So we see Jesus move with compassion. Jesus' heart was tender towards this leper who approached him. He approached Jesus right. He knew Jesus was God. And he does as he will. So he asks kindly and humbly. People of God, we realize how he asked. If you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. He asks kindly and humbly. If Jesus is willing, he could cleanse him. So we see, people of God, we have to approach Jesus the right way. And we have to do what is right in the sight of God. We cannot come our way. We have to come his way. We have to know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is expecting us to approach him the right way. We have to come forth with thanksgiving. We have to come to his courts with praise. We do not want to approach him all puffed up with pride. But we must go humbly before him. So we see this leper so humble coming to Jesus and crying out, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then we see Jesus, the word tells us, moved with compassion, stretch out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. So we see, people of God, Jesus is always willing to cleanse us. The word of God says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed to the word of God. So the word is that living water that can wash us and cleanse us. So as we continue to feed on the scriptures, we see, people of God, the word will continue to clean us up. The word will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we, as God's people, must always be hungry and thirsty for the word of God. Jesus Christ himself is the word of God. For the word tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. So we must know that he is the word. So we have to understand that each time we are going into the word, each time we're feeding on the word, each time we drink of the scripture, the water of the word, we are being cleansed, people of God. So we must run to the word. The word is life-giving. The word is spirit and it is life. The word, people of God, have I hid in my heart, the psalmist say, that I may not sin against God. So when we want to live that new life in Christ, when we want to be cleansed, when we want to be made whole, we run to Jesus. Are we hungry for him? Are we thirsty for him? He said if we are thirsty, we should come to him and he will give us living water. And out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. We want to run to Jesus and get that washing that we need. If we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. But we must be washed. We must be cleaned. And he will maintain our cleanliness. He will maintain us, people of God. So we have to run to him daily. We have to understand that he's the only one who can help us. The word said he's moved with compassion towards all those that will run to him. So let us run to him. Let us seek his face. Let us seek him out. We see this leper took time out to seek him. And we as God's people must know without a doubt that he's calling us to seek him. His word said we must ask, we must seek, and we must knock. So we are called to knock on heaven's door and he will open to us and he will cleanse us. He will be moved with compassion like he was moved on behalf of this leper. So we have to understand, people of God, we must know who God is. When we know who he is, we confidently trust him. So we as God's people must know who he is so that we can trust him and trust him completely. So we have to understand God's word and know that those who know his name will put their trust in him. So we see in Psalm 9 verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So we see, people of God, the word tells us that he will not forsake those who seek him. So we see he did not forsake this leper, because the leper had come seeking him out. The word said the leper came to him, imploring him. So we must go to him. We must know that he will not forsake those who seek him. So when we know his name, we will put our trust in him. So we want to know him personally. We want to have a personal relationship with him. We want to go forth in his power, and we want to do his will. We want to approach him right like this leper who should be in isolation, but took the risk and come out to Jesus and approach him right. He said, if you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. So we see he came to Jesus, kneeling down, imploring him, kneeling down to him because he knew who he was. If we know him, people of God, we will trust him. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. We will confidently believe in his word. We will confidently, we will walk according to his word, rooted and grounded in his word. And when we come upon situations, we will remember his word and we will walk in victory, because his word is alive and active. Jesus is alive forevermore, and he is active. Just as how he acted on behalf of this leper, he will act on our behalf as well. So he is always moved with compassion, and he will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. God is calling us to come to him. God is calling us to run to him. God is calling us to kneel down to him, to come to that place of reverential fear before him. God is calling us to worship him in spirit and in truth. We want to know him, to know his name, to know his character, to know that he's God. When we come to him, we must know his attributes. We must know that he's the omnipotent God. He's the omnipotent God. He's the omniscient God. He's the omnipresent God. We must know who he is. We must know his essential attributes. And we must hold firmly to who he is so that we can get the rewards that he has for us. So we must come to him by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the work that he has done at the cross, faith in who he is, that we will go forth, people of God, with that revelation knowledge, knowing his name. Those who know his name will put their trust in him. So we want to know him so we can trust him like this leper trusted him, and come to him and approach him right. Coming to him, kneeling down and begging him to heal us. So he is able to do exceedingly abundantly than we ask or think, through the power that works in us. And Christ is always moved with compassion, so we must move him with our faith. We must move him with our faith. So we see in Mark 1 verse 42, the word said, as soon as he had spoken, immediately leprosy left him and he was cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So we see Jesus came to heal all those who are sick, to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free. This leper, we see he was in a place of isolation. He was in captivity, but he was set free. He was now cleansed so he could go among the normal people in society.